Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Let's Talk About from Style Canada. And let me tell you, we're talking. Let's face it, we talk a lot. We talk about things we love, hot topics, and anything in between. But what about the things we don't talk about? What about the things we want to know but don't know how to ask? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Let's expand our horizons. Let's talk about it.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to season 3 of Let's Talk About. This season, I'm excited to kick things off with a series on emotional intelligence. If you recall, last season, we had Sarah Joseph join us, who's a certified life and emotional intelligence coach. We had a great conversation, and so I asked Sarah if she would co-host this season with me. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to co-host this series with you.
Me too. I'm excited to have you. So I'll share just a little bit about Sarah for maybe those that didn't catch the episode. If you didn't, it aired in December, and it was called Let's Talk About Emotional Intelligence. So you can listen back there, but we are going to take you through the whole journey now. But for those of you that didn't listen, a little bit about Sarah. Her mission is to help you master your emotions to live a more purposeful life. Sarah provides the knowledge, tools, and resources to help improve your emotional IQ through her 5-step process that focuses on everything from self-awareness to how we identify and communicate our emotional needs. She believes it's your right to learn how to take control of your emotions and to create the life you truly deserve. Sarah, I love that because I feel like it is such a good time of year to start this series and to have this conversation. I mean, we're through January and probably like getting the cobwebs out for me anyway, after the holidays.
No, for me too.
And I'm ready to kind of like take control of those emotions and, you know, I think that it's a lot to say live your best life, but to improve ourselves, right? And to take some time to reflect. And February is a good time for that, actually. Like if you think about, right? Like it's a little bit slower. February, March is hopefully a little bit slower than, you know, once we get into spring, at least here in Canada, because it's cold.
Yeah.
It's very cold right now. Yeah. And so we're happy to like stay in a little bit more and maybe have a little time for reflection. So anyway, I think it's a great time for this. And I'm so happy that you are with us doing it and guiding us through it, because what I learned in our conversation, our last episode we did together on emotional intelligence, was that I don't know a lot about emotional intelligence. So you are very much going to be the leader here, and I'm very much the student. And so maybe a good place to start for those that didn't listen to that episode is just a little bit about, you know, how you got here in this role. And then we could dive into like, what is emotional intelligence?
For sure. And I think, like you said, February is a great time, right? It's a shorter month and it's just so much, it's a little colder. So it's a really great time to kind of get your feet wet and some self-reflection. And that's kind of how I started. So I have been on my emotional healing journey, I would say for the last at least 3 to 4 years, but it really started when I started therapy. And I'm continuing therapy, and I will continue to do therapy because I find that your emotional healing just never ends, right? It just never stops. You're always doing something new. You're always evolving and growing. And I personally enjoy having a mentor that's going to be there to guide me through those, you know, difficult or challenging places. Or sometimes, you know, it's those areas where you're just kind of vibing, you feel good, you feel happy about, and you want to express and learn how to actually feel your happy emotions too. So it was after maybe 3 years of therapy where I realized that I really wanted to help people. And I wanted to extend this part of myself, because in therapy, what I really learned was how to increase my emotional capacity in a way that I wasn't only processing my emotions, but I was processing my thinking. So understanding how my thinking was actually elevating my emotional experience. So this later led me to wanting to become a life coach. And then I further niched down into becoming a emotional intelligence coach. And that's when I built out the 5-step model, because I found that it was these specific 5 steps that really helped me really encourage my emotional processing and my emotional growth and management, which I find is also now working for some of the clients that I have as well. So if therapy isn't the route for you, maybe coaching might be the route for you, right? So it all depends on your personal preference. You pick and choose what you like, right? But I know that this process has worked for me in not only improving my relationships, but improving my relationship with myself, and then improving that in terms of better conflict resolution skills as well. So that's kind of how I got here. And I'm excited to share this journey and continuing to share that journey with all of you.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said that part of like linking your thinking to emotions, which I'm sure we're going to get into, but that really resonated with me. Yeah. So is it, you talk about this 5-step process. Yes. Can you start taking us through what that entails?
Yeah. So I thought, let's start off with emotional intelligence and kind of branch that into the 5 steps. So I thought it would be a great place to start with what emotions are, and then kind of trickle that into how EI really helps to elevate your emotional experience. So just to simplify it, your emotions are just sensations and vibrations moving around in your body that help you to better understand and navigate the world around you, or the experience that you're having around you. So they act as guides or directional signals in order to navigate this crazy life, let's put it that way. And they also really heavily aid in our survival and our protection. So that fight, flight, or freeze response, for example. So I'm actually going to flip it to you. And let's say that you go hiking, okay? And you go up to this mountain and it took you like an hour to get there, but you get there and you get to the top. And you're looking over this beautiful valley. You see a stream, you see beautiful, colorful flowers, you see greenery everywhere. There's animals, there's chipmunks, there's squirrels. Like, you're having your best, you're living your best life because you got to the top of this mountain. How do you feel? Describe it.
Okay, so how I feel is happy that I made it to the top of the mountain, because the first thing you said when you're like, you're climbing up a mountain, I'm like, oh, that experience actually happened to me on a press trip a couple weeks ago. And you're like, okay, we're going to go on this hike through the jungle. And I'm like, we are, I'm not dressed appropriately. So I'm happy I made it to the top of the mountain.
Good.
And usually when I'm by like water on a higher vantage point to water, I feel very much a sense of calm. And I'm pretty good at like the pausing and the deep breathing and taking that in. So I feel like, and probably also like a sense of like, wow, I'm so small in this world.
Right.
I think I would feel those things. Yeah. Right.
So you're feeling really massive, high energy feelings. Like, you feel really good internally. Okay. So let's do the flip of that. Let's say that you are walking down the street and you're going to Starbucks and you're grabbing a cup of coffee and someone makes a racial slur at you. How do you feel?
Probably defensive.
Right.
Depending on the situation, maybe fearful. Like, obviously I'm a white woman, so I can't equate that to what someone else has felt, but I have had someone spit on me in the streets of New York City. Wow. So I would say that was kind of was like a little bit fear, because like this person was mentally unstable, and just so I think that resonated a little bit. So yeah, different. Maybe after that fact, sad probably.
Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of emotion come up that was completely opposite from what you felt when you went up that mountain, right? Mm-hmm. So your emotions essentially in those moments helped you to narrate or give you more information about that specific experience, right? So it really brought it to life for you. And you not only lived the experience, but you felt it, right? Like, you felt happy, you felt peaceful when you were on that mountain. But when you were receiving that racial slur and you got defensive, you felt angry, right? You felt upset. And it was those physical sensations happening in your body that created that experience for you. Let's say you didn't feel angry and you didn't feel any of those things. that specific situation might not have enough meaning, right? So our emotions give a lot of meaning to what we're experiencing.
So when you say, so it's like the feeling of the vibrations, for example, would that literally be when you're on the mountain, like the vibrations of like the earth and the water crashing? Would that be what you, would that be what it is when you say vibration?
It's more internal. So, and this is the part where we don't tune in, right? So we just go, okay, I'm feeling something, but we're not really understanding where it's coming from. So the next time you climb up a mountain or the next time you go for another hike, I encourage you to take a look at what's happening internally. So that could be closing your eyes, that could be tuning into your mind, tuning into your body, and noticing what happiness feels like in your body, right? You might feel very light. You might feel really, maybe you feel a little jittery. Maybe you're tingling a little bit. Maybe you feel a rush of emotion. Maybe you feel like crying sometimes because it looks so good, right? Or it makes you feel a certain type of way. And that all comes down to that chemical reaction that's happening in your body. So tuning into what that physically feels like internally, right? So we kind of associate feeling with what we think. So it's, I feel a certain way in my mind, but it's actually, I feel a certain way in my body. And my thinking is just generating those chemical responses.
And is your thinking, I'm assuming, taking your past experiences and making an emotion feel better or worse, or maybe not better or worse isn't the right analogy, but making it feel stronger or less so, like you used in that example. Okay.
For sure. That's exactly how that works.
And I think that probably lends itself to like how we could make a smaller situation be blown up in our mind. And I'm sure we'll get into that.
Exactly. Okay. I'm actually heading into that right now. So
okay.
As much as that sounds great, here's the problem, right? So the problem is, let's take that scenario again where that person made that racial slur towards you, okay? And your anger in that moment was completely justified, right? Because now that kind of showed you where your boundaries are. It showed you where you were being disrespected. And it showed you an area of your life where you will not tolerate that type of treatment, right? So in a way, your anger was supporting and defending how you truly feel, right? Or what you want for yourself. But let's take that a step further and say that your anger went so unregulated that you screamed back at him. Maybe you said a racial slur right back. What if you hit him? You know, what if you got into an altercation? What if it created a crowd now, right? So now our emotional response to all of that just created a way worse situation than it was before, right? And that's because of something called emotional hijacking. So in that moment, your anger hijacked the rest of your brain and hijacked your entire thinking brain. So you were not able to think rationally. You had no sense of judgment, right? When you attacked him, maybe he came at you with something else, right? So now that situation got 10 times worse. The police are involved. Maybe there's a crowd of people involved. Maybe CP24 is there and they're recording it all, right? This just got blown out of way proportion. And that's because we had no emotional control. Right. So what EI essentially does is it helps you to become not only aware of what's happening, but begin to regulate when you have lost control, regain that control and bring that power back into being able to deactivate that that feeling brain and go into activate that thinking brain, where you're now able to use that prefrontal cortex and you're able to use that to think rationally, to plan your next decision, to effectively think the scenario through, right? Instead of reacting, but instead responding.
Is there a certain people that are there certain characteristics, I guess, that certain people have that make them better at emotional intelligence? Because as you're saying that, I would think like, if you maybe were naturally a calmer person or like maybe more patient, I don't know, is there certain attributes or characteristics that would make you better at being emotionally intelligent?
Definitely the patience, right? And definitely that inner self-control. But I find that attaining all of those attributes over your time, like to say that I'm a patient person or to say that I'm a calm person actually comes from learned behavior, right? It comes from how maybe growing up, how you reacted when your parents, you know, you had altercation with your parents, right? Maybe they taught you how to be calm, cool, and collected, right? Maybe they really nurtured you in that way. And now you've become this patient person. So those attributes will take you into these situations where you are able to be calm, cool, and collected. But let's say you grew up very disharmonious and it was like anger and shouting and screaming and yelling and fighting and oh my God, you name it, right? Now you're taking that emotional response or that emotional experience and taking it into the way this person just made that racial slur about you. So you're more likely to go in and say, well, I'm going to hit this person. I'm going to attack this person. I'm going to say something mean back. I'm going to use all of the experience that I have of this situation happening before to becoming this. So I definitely think it comes down to learned behavior, but it also comes down to understanding that all these attributes or characteristics are skills that you can build within yourself. So being an angry person and then becoming a patient person, that can be created, right? That can be generated. You can always go back and rectify, and you can always go back and build that skill, right? From going to being not so calm to being really calm and patient, right? That's, again, a skill that you can build over time. So I definitely think it takes a certain amount of skill to be able to do that. So building your emotional intelligence to learn how to respond rather than react to a situation is definitely where EI can come in. And that is where you're building that skill. It's really building a skill to respond rather than react.
And is that what the 5-step process, if we get into that, is that what that shows us is how to build that skill?
Exactly. Okay. So it teaches us how to build that skill over time and then maintain that skill as well, because like any old habits die hard, right? So if we're going from always be reacting to a situation this way, it is going to take a bit of time and practice, and it is going to be a little challenging to get you from not reacting to slowly responding, right? To now implementing this new idea of this is how we want to think, this is how we want to cope, this is how we want to approach the situation. Because although that old way of doing it did serve you and it served some function because it got you this far, maybe it's not working for you anymore, right? And really knowing your why, really knowing why you're doing it, really knowing why you're changing these parts of yourself in order to create what outcome, right? Maybe I want better relationships. Maybe I want a better relationship with my parents. Maybe I want a better relationship with my spouse. Maybe I want a better relationship with my significant other or my best friend, for example, right? So really establishing your why is going to be important in how we create this change moving forward.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And I should mention too that like we very much plan for this podcast to start taking questions from people to kind of look at different scenarios and how they can kind of work through them from an EI perspective as well. So I like that you kind of said that in there. But back to today anyway, because we'll get to questions as we wanted today to be kind of like a base of what emotional intelligence is in the first few episodes anyway, to be a base of that. Do you want to actually take us through like 1 through 5, what the steps are in the process? Okay.
I can. Okay. So in terms of the 5-step process, these were all specific areas in which you build your skill or you build your IQ in order to attain that, you know, that end goal of becoming more emotionally intelligent. But as you're going through each step, you're building your IQ in different areas that help you encompass this whole idea of becoming more emotionally intelligent. And what I like to say is that emotional intelligence is understanding or having the capacity to understand and regulate the emotions, your own emotions, as well as the emotions of other people. So as much as the first few steps are just about you and you focusing on you and how you can better process your emotion and your emotional management, it's also about how we can then take that information and relate it to when someone else is having an emotional reaction towards us. Right? How can we be more empathetic? How can we come across and understanding the situation from their point of view rather than your own? So the first two steps at least are about you and about focusing in on your emotional relationship with yourself. So the first step is self-awareness. And this is kind of where I like to call it the self-discovery stage. It's where you don't make any changes, but you just observe yourself from a third-party perspective. You collect data, you collect research, and you really get to know your behavior. So what you're doing is you're going in to understand your triggers. What triggers an emotional onset for you, for example? You're going into identifying and recognizing the feelings that come up after that trigger, and then being able to understand how you cope with that trigger afterwards, right? So knowing what your entire process is from the time that you're triggered, from the time that you're ending that trigger, right? And using that information to then go, okay, well, hey, I just had an angry emotional outburst, okay? I just screamed at my husband. And now he's sleeping on the couch and we're not having a great night. That's how this ended, right? And we want to convert that into, okay, I got a little upset about something. I want to be able to acknowledge that's what happened for me. So I felt angry. I felt disrespected. I felt disgusted. I felt embarrassed, right? Understanding what that means for you and then being able to go, okay, well, here's how I feel. Maybe I'm ready to talk about it today, but maybe I could be ready tomorrow. But it doesn't mean that I have to have my husband sleep on the couch all night, right? So
fair, yeah.
You can definitely,
unless you want more space in the bed, then maybe. But
more space is always great. But we don't always have to end up to that conclusion, right? Mm-hmm. This conclusion can change. Then we move into something called self-regulation. That's the second step. And that's where you really learn about the internal feelings that are happening for you in your body and how they move through your body. It's about learning how emotions are energy in motion, emotion, right? That's kind of how I spell it out. And understanding where you feel it in your body. So sometimes some of us hold emotion, you know, in our chest, in our shoulders, you know, in our hands, in our feet. We may feel tingling, burning sensations all around our body. Getting to know what those feelings are and what they feel like and how to regulate them, right? Because essentially what we're really running from are the feelings, the physical vibrations happening in our body, because we have no sense of safety in that area. We have no control and we're going, what is happening to me, right? For example, when I get angry, my heart starts racing, my chest gets big, and my fists go, and I'm like just ready to fight, right? Mm-hmm. And that could be, you know, different for someone that gets sad. Maybe they go into a shell. Maybe they go into this place where they're feeling something really heavy in their chest. It feels like this weight, and they're not able to express it or get it off themselves. So that, you know, they hide, they don't talk about it, they don't tell anyone. So everyone's emotion shows up very differently, and it shows up with a physical sensation. Then we go into empathy. And empathy is a great place where we start to, once we're aware of what we feel, once we're able to learn how to regulate that up and out of our body, now we're able to understand the emotions of other people. So it's being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes and understand their situation from their emotional state, right? So you have one emotional state in this situation, but they might have a completely opposite emotional state. But it doesn't mean that you need to feel it, but it could mean that you need to understand it to create resolution, right? To create a space where you can actually come together and understand, hey, I get why you feel that way, right? Or I understand why that might hurt you. It's also being able to go in to understand the different levels of empathy, right? And being able to convey that empathy in your words and in your emotion and in your facial expressions, in your reactions, in the way that you listen, in the way that you communicate, right? So empathy is a great place where we get to understand two sides of every story, right? Then we have motivation. And motivation is essentially where once you're beginning to implement this, and I explained a little bit about it before, those old habits, right? So we have these old habits where we're experiencing anger, you know, we're experiencing stress, we're experiencing sadness or, you know, fear or anxiety. And this is how we've done it for 20, 30, 40 years, right? And then all of a sudden you're making these changes. All of a sudden we're saying breathe. All of a sudden we're saying meditate. All of a sudden we're saying think differently, right? And your brain is going to go, whoa, 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 whoa. I've never done this before and I don't even know why I'm doing this. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to go back to that neural pathway in my brain that always did it the same way, right? That always did it and always got that end result where we ended up in an angry argument. Right. And we want to shift that to really knowing your why. So why are you making this change? What's really on the line for you if you don't implement this change? What's really important to you for making this switch and understanding that motivates you? So this is where we go into do a lot of short-term and long-term goal setting, and we begin to understand our why.
Okay.
So then that in terms of motivation, there's also taking ownership and accountability for what you feel and how you feel it, right? So we kind of can get you moving from this victim complex or this blame game where they made me feel. I feel this because they did this, right? We can begin to go into ourselves and really internalize and understand, okay, I'm going to take accountability for this because they're not making me feel this. I feel this way, right? And these are sensations happening for me, not for them. Right. And when we can make that switch, we can then take authority over our emotions and gain more control that way. The last one is social skill. So social skill is where we want to learn how to effectively communicate those thoughts and those feelings. And that can come not only through our verbal communication, but it can come through our nonverbal communication. So as we're in a communicating with our partner, for example, or our friend, for example. What social cues are we using, right? Are we using our better listening skills? Are we using better attentive skills? Or what keywords are we using, right? This is also where we can power in on the aspect of forgiveness or making a meaningful apology where it's needed. This is also where we take your vulnerability and opening up that vulnerability and using it as your superpower to create these really strong, healthy relationships. And I think that's the biggest part here. A lot of us don't feel safe in our own emotions, right? We don't feel safe being vulnerable and opening up to other people because it is scary, right? It's scary when we don't know what we're doing. But once you're building this awareness, this regulation, and this empathy, slowly, and this motivation, what's going to happen is you're going to want to be more emotionally vulnerable because you're creating this safety from within yourself, and you'll be able to use it as your superpower. Right. So it's then being able to communicate your needs and understanding the needs of other people, and then being able to create meaningful solutions to essentially gain that emotional management control.
Yeah. I feel like so by the end of this series, we're going to all be way better people. And I'm guessing too, as you're going through and listening and you're listening through the process, like, it is a process in that you go through it sequentially, I'm assuming, right? Like, it's not like you just get to, can you be empathetic before you self-actualize? You probably can't. Like, some people are probably naturally more empathetic, but even as you were talking about empathy, I thought, I I would imagine people that have that skill of being empathetic probably have stronger relationships because you can like see mm-hmm. another viewpoint, right? You don't just like just see your lane and like see red when something, you know, doesn't go your right. way kind of thing. So interesting, very interesting.
Yeah. Empathy goes a long way for sure.
So Sarah, that's all really great. What are some tips and tricks that we can take for implementing? We know we're going to listen to the series and get much more into it, but what are some takeaways for today that we can start that journey?
Right. So some of the tips and tricks that I know I've implemented, at least within myself, and then have implemented outward to my clients that have been really helping their journey with even just starting the self-awareness part, is going into it with curiosity and that exploration. So going into this with this mindset to learn, to uncover, and to really get curious at the parts of yourself that we have really been hiding from ourselves from a really long time, right? So with that comes establishing that safety within ourselves again, in order to be able to process what we've been feeling. So the reason a lot of us don't go into exploring our emotions or exploring what we feel and think is because we don't feel safe doing that. We don't have the safety within ourselves to bring that out of us. So what I like to encourage is therapy or even coaching, or even just talking to a friend that you feel safe with, right? And what this is going to do, it's going to encourage you to open up and unravel those little pieces of yourself bit by bit. And in order to create that safety that you've been looking for, in order to become more emotionally vulnerable with yourself, so that you can then become emotionally vulnerable with others. So it's that curiosity and establishing that safety that's going to create that combination that you need for that self-awareness. The other part is no more abandoning ourselves, right? So what we do when we are facing anger or sadness or rejection, we go in and we abandon ourselves and we beat ourselves up for having these thoughts and feelings, right? Oh my God, I can't believe I thought that way. Or, oh my God, I can't believe I got angry. Or, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going through all this anxiety. That's no good. Other people don't feel that. We go into this comparing complex, right? This is where we want to hone in on self-acceptance, right? So going in to understand that, hey, you are human, right? And feeling these emotions don't make you actually any less human. They make you more human, right? And each of these emotions are here to teach you something. They're here to guide you. And instead of them taking that control, what we want to do is just take the guidance piece and run with it, right? Another tip is mindfulness. So being able to, you know, go in to breathe, being, you know, not embarrassed to meditate, not embarrassed to breathe, being able to understand that the science behind all of this actually does work, and being able to, you know, go in to do some inner child healing and journaling. I think one of the major tips though, or for the entire EI process, is understanding that nothing that you do here is ever going to be about trying to stop your emotions from happening, right? Our emotions play a vital part in our survival. They play such a vital part in our decision-making and everything we do these days, or in life in general. And it's important to remember that we want to change the trajectory from control, complete control, to guidance, right? And understanding why they're showing up, why they're here, what is my emotion here to teach me, and what attention do I need to give right now to this part of myself so that I can heal and I can become a better version of me and improve my quality of life over time.
Okay. I feel like a lot. The mindfulness thing, I think, will be the thing that I take into the day till we chat with you next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Sarah. Yeah, thank you so much for being with us today. Obviously, you know, we'll be here together next week again. Can you let people know in the meantime where to find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at @SarahJoseph_coach. And you can also find me on Twitter, which will be great. You can also find me on my website, which is currently, you know, under works, but it will be up soon. And you can even email me, SarahJosephLifeCoach@Outlook.com.
And if you do have any questions for us, you can send them along to hello@style.ca. Like I mentioned, in the coming weeks, we will start taking some of your questions and applying Sarah's method and an emotional intelligence lens to them, and hopefully giving a little bit of advice, which we're excited for. So until next week, thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for tuning into this conversation. We will have a brand new one on a brand new topic every Monday. If you were intrigued by anything in our conversation, we encourage you to talk about it. Tell a friend, post on social media, take action in your very own way. Subscribe to get the newest episode at your fingertips as soon as it drops. Until next time, check out Style Canada, a disruptor in the media for its community of inquisitive style seekers. You can find us at style.ca or on social media. Just like this podcast, Style Canada is not just about style. It's about living a lifestyle that leaves people open to evolution and opportunity. This episode was hosted by Elise Gasparino. The music credit goes to Raspberry Music, and it was brought to you by Style Canada.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.